this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral, and I just am so excited. I love to be with people who are on fire with the Lord, and we have two gentlemen with us who are so on fire with the Lord. Jack Stewart, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deacon. It's good to be here.
And Jim McVeigh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deacon. I'm happy to be here as well.
And both of them I've gotten to know through our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, but also through St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the parish that I'm assigned to as a deacon in the Diocese of Orange in Irvine, California. And the interesting thing is, as you both know, we've been involved with focusing on this new evangelization. And for everyone out there, this new evangelization is really talking about sharing your faith with other people. The title of this show is The Road to Conversion. And all of us go through this metanoia, this change, this conversion experience in which Jesus knocks on the door and says, come follow me. Both of them have gone through their own journeys, as all of you have out there. But the question is, why is it that you became Catholic? Both of them are converts. Both of them went through the RCIA program. And so it's so important that as we reflect upon why do we believe in what we believe in? Why do we believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church? Well, we believe in it because we feel in our hearts, our minds, and our souls that it has that yes and that completeness as it relates to our worship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get into that in greater detail, Jack, let's start with you. Tell us about yourself, and you're married and with children, and tell us about your story and what led you to Christ.
Thank you, Deacon. I am married. My wife, Vivian, and I have been married 31 years, and we have four daughters, all grown, and one granddaughter. And I've been going to parish at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton now for about 25 years, a little bit longer. But my experience for finding Christ, I found Christ for the first time when I was 19 years of age at a summer camp in a Baptist camp back in West Virginia. My cousin was running it.
Did you grow up back there in West Virginia?
I grew up in Kentucky. I was going from my high school year to my freshman year in college, and that summer I volunteered to go to my cousin's summer camp that he ran for youth to be one of the counselors, et cetera. And that conversion was pretty deep and spiritual. I did have a Holy Spirit moment at that time. And then, you go through life, go through college, et cetera, and things. In the Baptist world, you call it backsliding. I was a big backslider back then. But at the same time, I was also interested in the Mormon church, because I ran across some missionaries. I grew up in an orphanage in Louisville, Kentucky. My father passed away. We had 14 brothers and sisters in a very impoverished setting in Appalachia, Kentucky. And the youngest seven of us, the ones that were under the age of 15, went to the orphanage. I was about 9 at the time. And we ran across some Mormon missionaries that came to visit the orphanage, or at least outside of it, the gates. And one of us ran into them and invited them in to play softball, because these were young men, like a little bit older than us, but we were looking for people to help play sports. And these guys were more than happy to volunteer. And they gave us some lessons. And so I became interested and wanted to join their church. And as soon as I let the authorities at the orphanage know that, they kicked them out, which, you know, we were going to a Baptist church, and they told us that that's the way it's going to be. And as I went to college, I eventually joined that church. I was in it for approximately 10 years.
Well, you know, it's, as you go through this, you know, God's journey, my brothers and sisters, is one in which he'll use everything. He'll use different circumstances, different locations to bring us close to him. But it's this constant journey. I know for many of you, you may be worried about your kids, your children, your grandchildren, your friends maybe have fallen away for a period of time. And you know, but God, they're on a path. They're on a journey. So don't despair, but pray for them and know that God is going to intervene in their lives. But, you know, just use that, use the rosary, use different things in which you're praying for them and believing. So often it's called standing in the gap. You know, you intercede for other people. And my guess is a lot of people were praying for you. You maybe not even knew it.
I'm positive. Almost most of my brothers and sisters were praying for me at that time. In my experience, I don't want to disparage the Mormon Church. They're fine people. You're going to find some very good families, etc. But I did have a crisis of faith with that church and left it. And I'm not going to go into any details, but it's just I left it. I met my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife when I met her, but I met her. We got married a few years later.
Isn't she a saint, by the way?
She has to be.
Is she in the road to sainthood?
Oh, I'm a saint maker. So, so she was Catholic, and I went along with her to just be in the Catholic Church. And at the beginning, I tried to join it, actually. I went through, asked to go through RCIA back in 20-some-odd years ago. And I can't recall, if you remember her name, she was a nun, I believe, running the RCIA program in our parish.
So the Rite for Christian Initiation for Adults, RCIA,
correct,
is one that is so important, and yet you have to be ready for it. And
amen.
And perhaps you weren't fully ready, or maybe
well,
you were, but it didn't work
she
out.
Shocked me. She pulled me aside and told me after a couple of meetings that I wasn't quite ready. I was a pretty combative, and I had a lot of opinions that I wanted to let everybody. I think my mindset was to convert them into my
belief. So and, it was the Church of Jack?
Yeah. Yes. And she was... I was stunned because in the non-Catholic Protestant world, you can join pretty much any religion within 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand and you're going to go in. And they'll baptize you if you ask for it at that time. Here was a case where I was being I was rejected, and I was stunned by that. And there was a good reason why. But I continued, and I'll shorten the story a little bit. I continued going to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and I volunteered where I could. I just enjoyed the people, great people there, some of the best people I've ever met.
That's because
here's one of them.
And Jim's there, right?
Jim was
there. That's right. That's right.
And I volunteered where I could. And then when my wife became a lector reader, and as she's reading the lector and getting ready for her readings, she was asking me to help her to prepare, because I thought I was fairly biblically knowledgeable at the time. And so I was helping her, and as I was going through this process through almost a year as she was doing it, this little small still voice in me kept growing and growing. And the reading about Paul's conversion, when Paul went on the road to Damascus and his conversion, I felt an extremely powerful emotion that this is the time, this is 20 years later, folks, that I needed to get off my doubt. I'm where I need to be. This is God's church. This is what the church God, this is the church God set up.
Amen.
And through Paul's mission to all the Gentiles. Now he's the saint I picked. I love him. And I threw myself into the church as much as I can. I went through RCIA program. Thank God they accepted me the second time around. And I had probably...
I hear you're on probation, though.
So. I'm on still... Well, that's going to be another 10 more years, I think.
We're all on probation in some ways.
But that's how I...
Well, that's awesome.
Out.
So what did you like about the Catholic Church? I mean, having been a Church of Latter-day Saints, you were a Baptist,
mm-hmm.
and then your wife was Catholic. But was there anything that really said, hey, this is the true church? Is there anything that really clicked for you?
Well, in a joking way, I was talking to your brother about a couple of weeks ago, and he was asking me that as we were drinking wine. And I lifted up that glass of wine, so this is one of the bigger differences, and I can drink this without guilt.
Yeah, okay.
But the one thing I've noticed about the church, we as a church, we will send our Catholic Charities, Spirit-Filled Hearts, you name whatever mission we have, we will, regardless of what your faith, background, or who you are, we're going to serve you if the need is there for you and you're willing to accept whoever that is. I volunteered in the Mormon church. They serve other Mormons. I volunteered in other Baptist churches, et cetera. They do serve other people, but for the most part, they're a very close community within each other, whereas the Catholic Church is very welcoming to everybody, as a church of God should be.
And one of the beautiful things about the Catholic Church, again, and one of the things that we teach, of course, is that we are all children of God.
Amen.
And that regardless of your faith or lack of faith, whatever it is, Catholic Charities and things like that, Catholic Relief Services, you know, throughout the world spends time, you know, there right at the disaster sites where the poor are, you know, whatever it might be. And they don't ask the question of, are you a Catholic, before they give them help. And that is something that's really awesome and something I'm very proud of. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about the road to conversion with Jack Stewart and Jim McVeigh. Now, Jim, tell us about your story, if you could.
Well, I'm married 25 years now, and I've got three wonderful kids, and as well as Jack, they're all grown at this point, or at least past the age 18. As I reflect on it, I feel like I was always drawn to Jesus and the Catholic Church from a very young age. My family was, at least my parents were Catholic. They, for a number of reasons, they just chose not to raise any of their children Catholic, but they always had the crucifix around the house, and they had other things around the house. And I remember at a very young age holding, I still have this memory of holding the crucifix and feeling drawn to it. And so, you know, and Jesus was always with me, even from that, I want to say I was 3 or 4 years of age when I had that in my hands. But in the environment, you know, I wasn't necessarily supported. You know, I couldn't independently do it, and so I didn't, you know, pursue the Catholic faith at that point. As a young man, I recall, there was always that pull. There's always that interest. And there was this, he's now an Archbishop of Washington, but he was Bishop Worrell at the time. And he came to Pittsburgh, and he was the handling that diocese at that time. And he had an early morning show on Sunday morning at around 7 o'clock in the morning or 7:30. And I just regularly tuned into that show and listened to what he had to say. And something that struck me that stays to this day is, you know, why not the Catholic faith? You know, what else do you have going for you? And what if we're wrong? So what? You know, we're giving you something here that nobody else can offer you. And that stuck with me as well, that there really wasn't anything else out there that was nearly as sort of fulfilling as belief in Jesus and the Catholic Church. And as sort of life progressed, lots of things happened in my life and lots of challenges. And I kind of reached a point, I think, when the kids' situations were sort of finally settled about 5 years ago. I'd done some little bit of work before then, too. I continue to be engaged. I continue to look for readings and things like that through my life's journey or through my life. But 5 years ago, when I felt like things were in a pretty good place, I jumped into the RCIA process.
And my brothers and sisters, jumping into God's arms is what we're called to do. In fact, if you take a look at John 15:16, it's not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about the road to conversion. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the road to conversion with Jack Stewart and Jim McVeigh. And Jim was describing his journey, and I do have to take a little bit of a detour here. You know, my son is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Are you a Steelers fan?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, lived there the first 29 years of my life, and I love the Steelers, I love the Pirates, I love the Penguins.
Okay, well,
go Pens.
we went to the old Three River Stadium, and my son was painted gold and black. Was that good?
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing, and it was a great story. So it's interesting, and before we continue on with your story, you mentioned something that's very important, and I just want to, as we say, light it up here. As, again, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit talking about conversion. Those that are not Catholic, maybe have no faith, or maybe they're a different religion, and converting to become Catholic. But you mentioned about, well, your parents were Catholic, but they didn't really lead you into the Catholic Church. It really is that, did I understand that correctly? Or they kind of let you decide for yourself, or maybe you could define that a little bit more.
They let me decide that for myself,
okay,
and let all the children do.
And so that's an important point, because we often hear that, you know, and the fundamental question is, should you as parents really lead your children into the Catholic Church, or should you just kind of be on the sidelines? Well, I have very strong opinions about it. And that very strong opinion is that if we believe that the Catholic Church is really not the only way to get to Christ as it relates to Christian religions and so forth, and we as Catholics, you know, do believe that through God's grace that even non-Christians, you know, will be in heaven and so forth, and we don't know because it's Christ's decision, but we do believe that the Catholic Church has the fullness of faith. If we have that fullness of truth, that fullness of faith, and we believe that the Catholic Church is definitely the best choice, then as parents, isn't it our responsibility to make a difference when children do not really understand their faith and have the maturity to really lead them into the church? Your thought, Jack?
Amen. I agree with that 100%. I think you need to have the foundational involvement with the children that you have. We've always sent all of our kids through the education process through the church. That's something we should always expose them to. And we've had some grown children now, unfortunately, that are not active in the church. And for whatever reason, but all of them went through, all of them became confirmed.
But you did a very interesting thing in terms of the baptism of your granddaughter.
Yes.
Tell us what you did.
I had her baptized. I made sure.
Yeah. And so basically, you had come up with the fact that you were helping raise the...
Correct.
So because of that, you took authority over the raising of your granddaughter as a Catholic.
Correct.
And so you were able to have your granddaughter baptized. So, you know, as grandparents, again, you know, you can... It depends if you're... grandchildren are living with you and so forth, you know, you go to the pastor, you have to make sure that each case is unique. But the point is that you're saying even with your grandchildren, you want to make sure that they're being raised Catholic, which is very important.
I want them to have that identity pretty much part of their identity as they grow older, that they can always come back to it if they need to or never leave it in the first place as we hope they would.
But they went through and have gone through religious education and that
Correct.
Type of thing. Jim, I'm curious about your thoughts. You know, having experienced that, and maybe you're going to disagree with this, but, you know, I just think it's really important that parents train their children as it relates to following the Catholic Church. But your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. In fact, my father, near the time of his passing, reflected and felt like that's something he didn't do and should have done for us kids. And, I mean, at that point, it became a light again. He actually had his first reconciliation in about 50 years at that time.
Wow.
But you know what? He shared that feeling after that. I mean, this was probably a couple weeks before he passed. And he said, this was good for me. I'm ready now. And he was ready to go to heaven. He wanted us all to go join him. So he was willing to be the light at that point. He recognized he wished he did something different earlier in life, but he didn't. And,
But you know
the best
what?
At that point.
This is an important point, because for many of our listeners out there, maybe you feel like, oh, it's too late for me. Oh, it's too late. It's not too late.
It's never too
never.
Late. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And so your father made a big impact on you later on in life when he was older and so forth. And so you had this kind of yearning. You know, remember The Lord calls us, as we said in John 15:16. The Lord chooses us and calls us. The Lord, you know, has this yearning within our hearts and souls. And so more and more you were having that yearning. And what attracted you to the Catholic Church then, Jim?
I think it's the 2,000 years of body of knowledge and knowledge and love of Christ that attracted me to it. I wasn't comfortable going to other things that I felt just didn't have kind of that history and that learning and that constant building of faith and that the Catholic Church offered. And also, I just knew that aside, that it was just the right answer. I'm not sure why I knew that. I just knew that. I knew I wasn't going to find the answer in other places with other faiths. So I really didn't seriously consider any other faith any time in my life, actually.
And how long ago was this?
I want to say it's throughout my life.
As it relates to going through RCIA?
Oh, that was 4 years ago I went through RCIA, 2000.
And Jack, how many years ago for you?
I went through in 2011, I believe.
Okay.
2011.
So about 7 years.
7 years ago.
Yeah, awesome. You know, one of the beautiful things, and for those that are converts, thank you for your yes. And those that are cradle Catholics, thank you for your yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Catholic Church. But I've noticed that those that have gone through RCIA, many of them, not all of them, but many of them really are more on fire than those that perhaps are cradle Catholics. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, RCIA was just getting you to about the kindergarten level in
right.
terms of what you can know.
Right.
I mean, ever since then, I've just been drawn into study. I've, you know, read the Bible cover to cover probably 5 or 6 times. But also I'm engaging in these courses at the college courses at the University of Dayton, where you kind of get together as a group for 5 weeks. And like right now I'm studying Mary, tradition and scripture. And,
nice.
and it's just, I mean, even though I got so much going on in my life, I for some reason can just find that 5 or 6 hours a week to participate in those types of studies. And it's just, I've studied scripture and prayer and Mary and other topics and the prophets and other topics as well. And it's just, it just pulls you in, and there's just so much more. You think you know it, and you know, you all of a sudden realize maybe you're at the first grade level now. There's just so much there. It's so rich and it's so beautiful, and every day I learn something different, look at things differently every day.
That's awesome.
And I have to back that up. With RCIA, I've volunteered since 2011 every year, helped teaching it. And the one thing I've noticed, the ones that go through that program, particularly the older, well, we're not older, but, you know, the more mature ones do tend to volunteer a lot afterwards at different ministries and are a little more active and a little more fire on them. You can sense it. But at the same time, I was taught by cradle Catholics in that process, people with doctorate degrees in theology, etc. And I come from a background of ancient world history major in college, and I always loved that kind of thing and spiritual studies. And I felt like I was getting brain candy from these people every week, and it was a wonderful experience. And I fall in love with the whole Catholic process. The Eucharist is the most important thing about for me personally. We're taking the body and blood of Christ as part of a body of Christ, and it's handled with such reverence and such love. It's not just something casually that other churches I've been in do it on occasion, and it's something they felt like they have to do and get it out of the way. This is the core of our Mass, and I look forward to it every time I go.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Yeah, it's so important. We take a look at John 6, and John 6, of course, the famous chapter talking about the Eucharist, the bread of life discourse. And we look at verse 47, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. And on, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give you is my flesh for the life of the world. And then further on, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. What is so important, my brothers and sisters, is understanding one of the huge differences between the Catholic Church and certainly non-sacramental churches and other Christian churches and other religions, is understanding this gift of the Eucharist, the sacrament of this the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If people understood the importance of the Eucharist, their whole lives would change. If they understood the importance of the Eucharist, they wouldn't even consider leaving the church for a non-denominational church or another church or another religion or whatever, because it is through the sacraments and through the Catholic Church that you receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ through the priesthood. Your thoughts about that, Jim?
You know, you're absolutely right that the Eucharist is, after joining the church, I realized that's what the powerful draw for me. I mean, when I participate in the Eucharist every Sunday, I mean, you can get the words, you can get everything else from other places, but when you're coming together on Sunday and you're participating in the Eucharist, I mean, you're joining Christ, and that's really powerful. I want to say almost probably the only time I ever sort of develop a little tear is often after that Eucharist when I sit and pray after it. It's such an emotional awesome. Experience for me, and that is the key. That is the key, and if people could appreciate that, you're right, they wouldn't go elsewhere.
They wouldn't go elsewhere, and they would want to go to daily Mass or as often as they could. You know, give us this day our daily bread, my brothers and sisters. Give us this day our daily bread. Is we need to have for fuel, not just the physical food, but the spiritual food of Jesus' body and blood.
I was going to say it's a very humbling experience for me, particularly the concept that you're taking upon the body and the blood of Christ, and you're doing it with all these brothers and sisters in a. It's the system itself is developed over 2,000 years, of course, how it's evolved, and it's very humbling.
It's interesting when you go to Rome and you go to the catacombs in Rome. If either one of you have been to it,
no,
you'll see these etchings of actually the Eucharist and body and blood. It's pretty amazing. In some of these catacombs where the Christians would hide, you know, and so forth and celebrate Mass. You know, it really is an amazing, amazing thing. My brothers and sisters, we are blessed.
Amen.
We are blessed beyond comprehension that God has called us, that Jesus has called us to say, come to him, and that we're part of this universal church, or what Catholic means universal, and to have the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ available to us through the Mass, through the Eucharist, is something that is amazing. But we need to be converted on an ongoing basis. We need to have this metanoia, this change, this new birth. As we focus on the Easter season, as we focus on Pentecost, we need to have this ongoing conversion, this ongoing Pentecost. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the road to conversion. We'll be right back to talk more about saying yes to Jesus and what does that really mean. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the road to conversion here high atop the Tower of Hope with Jim McVeigh and Jack Stewart. And maybe some of you have left the church. Some of you, just the Lord had you just tune in right this second. In fact, the Lord is just showing me a number of people in my mind's eye here in which you've left the church. You haven't gone for a long time, but God is calling you. God is just nudging you. God is whispering in your ear, come back, come back. Because you see, even if you are going to church, either regularly or somewhat regularly, the question is, to what extent is Jesus in your heart? We have a ministry, and Jack is an important part of it, and Jim is certainly helping us too, called Spirit-Filled Hearts. And I'm so blessed to have that name. I still feel it's one of the great miracles that that name was available 4 years ago when we formed our nonprofit corporation. And because the number one thing is to go from the head to the heart. You know, and when we talk about conversion, it's not head knowledge. It's like putting the knowledge of Jesus into your heart that he becomes your Lord and Savior. So when you become Catholic, say in your conversion through RCIA, when you're baptized as an infant, when you get confirmed, whatever it is, every single day is a day of conversion. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, yeah, with regarding myself, I always think that the grace and faith don't go to the lazy. I mean, you got to want it and you work on it. Yeah, I mean, every day you got to think of, look at the world and look at Christ's role in it and put energy into it. It just doesn't come to the lazy. And I always think about that every day. And in truth, when you do that, you become strong in everything you do. I mean, I put this time into this work, but I find all my other work, I just do everything much more efficiently and effectively. That energy translates to all your life. But you got to just put energy into everything you do.
I have to tell you, you know, and I was senior vice president of sales of a Fortune 25 company and one of the largest pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, I had 4,000 people that I managed. And I used to really do a lot of research into what made a successful salesperson. I actually found, and I couldn't really talk about it, but I actually found those that had faith, those that who really were just on fire with Jesus, were usually among the very top salespeople I had. You know, it was interesting to your point about really how when you turn your life to Jesus, everything becomes energized. You know, you do everything better. At least that's been my personal experience. But it is this ongoing conversion, Jack, that is so important. Your thoughts?
It's a daily conversion a lot of times for me, et cetera. But the one thing, Jim, that was an excellent point. I would like to echo it a little bit, that one of the things that if you're going to come back to the Catholic Church, we encourage you to come back. Come back and give your heart to Jesus. And the most important reason to do that is because Jesus, you need him, but he needs you. He needs your work, your skills, your efforts. When you come back to the church, get involved. Find a ministry that you can be comfortable with. And I would encourage anyone, as you come back, to put that love of serving Christ in your heart, because it really lifts you up daily, constantly. It makes you a better human being, of course, and you cannot argue that having Christ in your heart can harm you in any way. It cannot. It will lift you up, and to echo what Deacon Steve says, it will make you a better person all around.
Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that's really important, my brothers and sisters, is to understand that when you are baptized as part of the baptismal rite with sacred chrism. And with this sacred chrism, you are anointed to be priest, prophet, and king. It's so important. And when I are, you know, performing the rite of baptism and so forth, I really take a lot of time to try to emphasize, what does it mean to be that priest, to be that servant? What does it mean to be part of God's kingdom? But then there's that word prophet. A prophet is someone who is an evangelizer. The word evangelization is, for many Catholics, oh, that's not me. But the word evangelization means good news. How often do you share the good news about, hey, I just had a grandchild. Oh, you know, I just had this happened to me, a promotion. I just had this good news happen to me, or that good news happened to me. I want to tell everybody about it. Well, that's exactly what evangelism is. Part of our conversion experience, my brothers and sisters, is understanding what our role and responsibility is to be Catholic, to share our faith. The three of us have been part of a program and currently are part of a program called Be My Witness, and I'll give a shout out to Renew International. It's their program. There are other programs out there. But Be My Witness is is really training us and teaching us to share our life story. It's called the Fifth Gospel, to share our story about why are we Catholic? Why are we Christian? Why are we followers of Christ? And the more that we take responsibility to take that mantle of Christ on, the more that we are changed and converted. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, let me just share a couple of things that I'm working on now. So I've got two, you know, very autistic young men with me, my sons. Mm-hmm. And every Saturday before Mass, a pastor opens up the church. I bring them in shortly thereafter, and we sit for about 10 minutes, if we're lucky, because they're kind of anxious guys. And I go through a couple of readings with them, and then we go back and visit the tabernacle, and then we take off for the day. So that's kind of a ritual I go through every week. That's my work on evangelizing. I want to bring, you know, Jesus to these two guys that are nonverbal. And
awesome.
And it's just a wonderful experience. We stop by, we get some food before it, and it's sort of a ritual that we go through and an exercise we go through. I'm getting them to spend more and more time in the church, and one day I hope that they'll join me there. So that's one thing I do. And the other thing I do that's because I am on fire is at work, I've become a catechist, right, with the Orange County Diocese, and I kind of hang that plaque on my desk. And I also keep a library of books in a file cabinet. And I invite anyone that's interested, that cabinet's always open. And I'm very happy when a book's disappeared. Like, for instance, your miracles book was in there, and it disappeared. I'll put a plug in for you.
Experience miracles found on Amazon.
That book disappeared, and I actually gave it to somebody else because we were talking about miracles one day. So even my workplace, I try to say, here I am, and this is what I'm about. And if you're a little uncomfortable talking with me, and sometimes you are in these professional environments, you can take go to my library and take
awesome.
What you need.
So that's
what I'm trying to do.
That's fantastic. Jack, your thoughts on this?
Beautiful story. I love that. I've seen you with your sons there plenty of times.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I have. One of the things when you do a Be My Witness and you're going to share your story with someone, the most important factor you must have in your heart is your love for that person, a genuine love, awesome. A Christ-like love, and then you will feel much more comfortable sharing with them. As long as you genuinely love them, express that love to them, you will usually get a pretty welcoming response from them. In one way or the other. I found that in my experience over and over. It's rare that you don't.
To be real, right?
To be real.
To be real and love them for where they are. You know, so many people think that, you know, if you're Catholic or Christian and someone else isn't, or maybe they're lapsed, or maybe they're not embracing their faith, that you're judging them. But my brothers and sisters, we are all broken. We're all in need of a Savior. We're all in the same boat, as I like to say, the same room, the biggest room, the room for improvement. You know, we need each other. We need each other. And no matter where we are, you know, you talked about backsliding and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is we need each other. It's not straight up. You know, I mean, I said yes to Jesus. I'm a cradle Catholic, but at age 28, I had this conversion experience. But it wasn't like, okay, everything after that was just perfect. You know, I was a saint after that. No, you know, you trip and fall. You stumble. You know, you get weak. You sin. Maybe you have doubts, whatever it might be. But the bottom line is that you keep moving forward and moving forward, and you keep striving. But we need the strength of each other. And I just want to say in particular about men, obviously the three of us as men, you know, you ask a man, how are things going? Fantastic. You know, my kids are Nobel Prize winners, candidates for sure. You know, my marriage never been better. You know, the job. Oh, man, I'm hitting it out of the ballpark. I mean, everything is fantastic because men feel that if they share their issues, their challenges, their problems, that they're seen as weak or failures or whatever. And they, you know, it's really hard. I mean, women, you know, I think maybe a little bit different, you know, in terms of their readiness to share their issues. So I think evangelizing men, Jim, is really important to let them know that it's okay that things aren't perfect, but God loves them unconditionally. And Jesus loves them unconditionally. Your thoughts, Jim?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're in a culture where men don't show negative emotion. I can remember my father just saying, never cry.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was wrong. And that was absolutely wrong. And I don't know if you ever figured it out before he passed,
yeah.
But that was the culture. And when we when we reach out to people, we show it ourselves, we show our vulnerabilities and as well, I think that invites that conversation. And then it invites other conversations, the good conversations, where we can become that evangelist perhaps in their life, or at least that light in their life, so that they feel like we're there for them.
And when you have these challenges that we always have, the ups and downs in life, we all have gone through it, and events that we have no control over and events that we cause, all of those things, if you have love of Christ in your heart, you can use that to get stronger.
Amen.
And it's a great process. It teaches you a lot about life.
My brothers and sisters, it's not if the storms are going to come. It's when the storms come. Is your house on a solid foundation? Is your house on a solid foundation in which you turn to Christ, you turn to the Christian community, the Catholic community, you turn even more to the sacraments, reconciliation, adoration, rosary, scripture, or do you turn to the world? How many people are turning in this day and age to the world? Pornography is just an epidemic. Drugs, epidemic. Alcohol, materialism, on and on and on. People try to fill the holes, Jim, in their life with what the world has to offer, and it's never fulfilling.
Well, that's our challenge, right? Is they're doing these things, and it's sort of mind-boggling why they would choose that over Christ, over the Catholic faith. And so that creates the challenge for us to be that light, and also to make sure people understand who you are, that you are a light of Christ. You don't hold that back either, or they don't know. They think you're just happy. Maybe you have a better drug. So you got to show that, and just be patient. Be patient. And you're right. Don't judge anybody. Just be patient and be there, and then they'll come one at a time.
Well,
they'll come.
My brothers and sisters, for you right now, you may say, well, how do I share my faith? What do I do? We're going to talk more about that right after we take a quick break. But just know this. Know that you were created to be loved by God and to show that love to other people. The Baltimore Catechism had it right. We're created to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And in part of that serving God, it's basically saying yes to his love and sharing that love with other people so that they may learn indeed that they are not orphans, but they are children of our Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit, talking about the road to conversion with Jim McVeigh and Jack Stewart. And we've been talking about that yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, that means that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. As we're here in this season, Pentecost, and just having received that Holy Spirit conversion within our hearts and souls and minds on an ongoing basis, it's exciting. It's
Amen.
Exciting to be on fire with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus wants us on fire. As we take a look at Luke 12:49, he says, I've come to set the earth ablaze. And that being on fire means that we serve the body of Christ, as Jack, you were saying, that we find our ministries, but we share our faith. And, you know, you mentioned at work, Jim, you know, it's so important that we just don't hold back at work and look for opportunities to share our faith. Your thoughts?
No, that's absolutely right. And it actually lightens up the work. I think that makes the workplace better if you're, you know, just comfortable showing who you are. I mean, there's a difference, you know, in how you handle yourself that you may want not be terribly too persistent or too forceful, but show yourself as a light. And it really does make the workplace a better place for everybody.
One of the most important things for me, and, you know, there were times that I may have gone a little bit too far and got called into human resources or called into this person or that person, but I never hesitated, you know, during my talks, during various sales meetings and so forth, where we'd get together and pray afterwards and do certain things. Times it can be challenging, but I'll tell you what really particularly worked. Someone walks up to you, Jack, and says, yeah, you know, my wife, my son, my daughter, my husband, whatever it might be, you know, they're going in for surgery next week. And that's an opportunity of evangelization. Amen. It's an opportunity to say, most of us will say, oh, I'll keep them in prayer. But taking that leap to say, you mind if I just lift up a prayer or say a prayer right now for, you know, your husband, your wife, or whatever it might be, for what the surgery for next week, would you mind?
That's perfect. I've always asked their permission, of course.
And of course.
That's one of the things you have to do. And you want to have them included into the prayer. And I always ask them, do you want to pray with me? And do you mind if you join me? We pray for your whatever that cause is. And when you do that prayer, a lot of times I ask them to say something, to add to it that I have. And that puts them into the inclusion process. But most important, you're doing that because, again, it all comes back to the love of Christ, that you're loving that person. You want whatever that case that their problem is having is addressed by the Holy Spirit, by God's Spirit here on the earth, that he leaves with us, the Comforter.
Amen. And it's just so important. You know, and when I'm sharing my faith, I'm on fire. You know, I mean, I don't care. My problems are gone. You know, they're still there, but I'm not dwelling on it. You know, it's like Peter walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water, looking at Jesus, all excited. Then he looks at the waves and the big ocean, whatever, and he sinks. When we are sharing God's faith and God's love and the fact that of the good news that Jesus, John 3:16, for he so loved us that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And, you know, that good news of Jesus Christ, that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. When we share that kind of thing, we are so energized, and somehow whatever challenges we have, Jim, just kind of melt away.
No, you're absolutely right. I'll share a similar experience. A friend of mine was going to have surgery about a month ago for something, and a couple of days before the surgery, I said a couple of rosaries for him, and I don't know what happened, but immediately after just saying those rosaries, he discovered he had another condition going on, and fortunately that turned up before the surgery. And when I shared with him that I said these things for him, and he was in my prayers, I mean, by text over the weekend, he said, well, Jim, you know, here's what happened. Something else happened, and it's so fortunate that this came up. And so, in my case, we didn't join in prayer at that, you know, at the time that he was off, you know, getting ready for his surgery, but I did share that I did that, and it's just one more experience to show, you know, we're out there looking for you, and I was willing to communicate to him. I think that just further reinforces his faith in Jesus and the church.
Matthew 5:6, the fourth beatitude, is one of my very favorite, and we've been referencing the fire, the desire, and so forth. And it says that blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which means God's will, for then they'll be satisfied. When you hunger and thirst to do God's will, people come in your life when you least expect it. Someone will just pop in your life, and you didn't expect that to happen. Maybe you didn't know them very well, or didn't know them at all. But God will bring people to you. But Jack, we've got to make that decision, just that conscious decision to say, Lord, use me. And then all of a sudden, everything changes.
Amen. There is no condemnation in Christ. There's none. And that is a very powerful statement, because a lot of us live with our own guilt constantly throughout life. And they feel that they're not worthy to come to Christ sometimes. I had that feeling myself many times, even after I've joined. Even it just happens. That's just part of the process. But that little verse is so powerful. When you have that no condemnation, you turn your heart to Christ, you surrender it to Him, you're saved. Your life is changed. You are now perfect in His eyes. All sins are gone. All things are removed. And you need to surrender. And of course, you know, as human beings, we're going to go back out and sin some more. But that's why we have this whole process that the church set up, the reconciliation process. We don't look forward to sin. It just happens. But when you do surrender that heart to Christ and you come back to serve, just know that that condemnation is never there again.
My brothers and sisters, the good news of Jesus Christ is that He is there for us with open arms. He's beckoning us. He's saying, come to me. Some of you right now haven't been to church in a long time, and you just happen to come across this radio show. And Jesus is calling you right now, and He's saying, I love you. I love you passionately. I love you completely. We know from Romans 8 that nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing in your past, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor creatures, nothing will separate you from the love of God. When you understand that you are loved despite the fact that you've left the church, or you've left Him, or you turned your back, or you did these things, some of you have had abortions, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you say yes to Jesus, that you say yes to say, I confess my sins. You go to a priest, you go back to the reconciliation, but you basically say, Lord, take over my life and heal me. Take over my life and use me. Take over my life, for I realize that I cannot live an effective life without you. You know, John 10:10, Jim, is so important for me, because it says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. You had this conversion in which you entered the Catholic Church. You're both on fire for the Lord. And don't you feel that your life is so much more full now, so much more abundant than it was previously?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I think I'm 10 times what I was 5 years ago, just spiritually and my energy level, my engagement with the world. It really is an incredible, I mean, just join the faith fully and going through the baptism, you grow and you grow huge. That's what I found with it. And just a kind of a comment. Also, when you're on fire, the other thing, you tend to just be, you're out there looking more and you're looking for the opportunities. That's what I find myself. I can recall in the parish a while back, you know, there was a family with a handicapped child, and they were sort of shying away from the handicapped child, sort of acknowledging during the greeting. And I reached out and just grabbed him and shook his hand, and they came back. That's a neat thing. A couple of weeks later, they felt comfortable coming back to that church. And I had another experience like that. You're just aware and you're just out there engaging, and just think things happen when you do those things. People see you as a light, and I think it brings them in.
Amen. 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 And Jack, as I look at you, you are on fire.
Amen.
You are on fire. You know, you just, and isn't it interesting? It's like you can't get enough information. You can't get enough of Jesus. You can't get enough of sharing of Jesus.
Amen. I volunteer quite a bit in different ministries. And during this holy season that we just came out of, I was a little bit overwhelmed and thinking I need to back off. And then, of course, a man named Deacon Steve Greco came up to me and recruited me for Spirit-Filled Hearts. And I thought, oh, heck, I'll replace that little thing with this other little thing. Well, Spirit-Filled Hearts is not a little thing. It's quite overwhelming at times, and I love it. I absolutely love it. You're doing God's work more than I've ever seen any other ministry I've been involved in. And one of the things I've noticed, when you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, when you have that Holy Ghost moment, that Holy Spirit get into your heart, you're able to see things that you've never seen before, recognize. You see God in a lot more things that it was so obvious that you're amazed that you didn't recognize it before.
That's absolutely
little
true.
Things with with people interacting with one another. The homilies, I listen to all of them now. Used to, I'd kind of halfway listen, but I listen to all of them now, particularly yours, Deacons.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, they're the best.
I like these guys.
But I listen to them, and I hear God speaking continually, and God showing himself to us in all different ways, and all you have to be is open to it. Bring him into your heart.
One of the interesting scriptures lines is in 2 Corinthians 3:16. When a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. A veil is removed from our eyes, my brothers and sisters, when we say yes to him. As both of you said in different ways, we start seeing things differently. We see people differently. We see circumstances differently. And there's incredible freedom. Amen. When we say yes to the Lord, freedom to live the life that we were chosen to live out our purpose, right?
Amen.
You know, and it's so important for that. And I just want to thank both of you for being on the show and for your yes to Jesus. Jim and Jack, you guys are my inspirations, and you're keep on fire and keep sharing the word of God and the love of Jesus to everyone that you meet.
Thank you, Deacon.
Well, thank you, Deacon.
Thank you for being on the show. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, worship you, and glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for choosing us to be your humble servants, that we may be part of building up your church and be filled and transformed by your love. Give us the courage to say yes to you each day, the courage to spread your joy, your good news to all the people we meet, whether at work or at home, at school, wherever we are, Lord God, that we do not hesitate to be the embodiment of your love. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, in the name of Jesus, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We have been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmarie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmarie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Tan Nguyen of the Diocese of Orange, and prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memorare this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life, from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we will reach our goal by the end of the year. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgin, our Mother, to thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of thy Word incarnate, despise not my petition, but in thy clemency hear and answer me.